Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Reuven Hoffman, and Bari Hoffman. We have two subjects that we want to speak about on this week's program. The first is why the Jewish holiday of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, is so relevant to everything we experience in our lives today and to our future. Why it's so relevant, why that holiday is so important, and why it's important that we understand the significance of Sukkot. The second subject we want to speak about is the latest Donald Trump scandals. And with him, there's another scandal every day. Now, of course, many women have come forward and have said that he's sexually assaulting them. We want to discuss the sexual predator history of both Donald Trump and Bill Clinton. Both of them are evil, immoral, unacceptable individuals. And we want to discuss the implications of the latest revelations about Donald Trump and how it affects the election about three weeks from now. But first, let's talk about Sukkot. Sukkot is one of the beautiful Jewish holidays, one of the chagim that we have during the year. From the Torah, we are commanded in the Torah to observe Sukkot. And it really is a very happy time for the Jewish people. It's a beautiful holiday. Jews build booths or tabernacles, which are temporary structures that they build outside of their homes. Or if they don't build it outside of their home, they at least have to go somewhere else to another tabernacle that has been built and eat in the Sukkah. There's a commandment for them to do that. What's the point of Jews having these tabernacles, of having these booths? And there are other, by the way, there are other aspects of the holiday, but because of time constraints, we're just going to focus on the issue of the booths and the tabernacles. What's the point of building these booths? Number one, these booths are temporary structures. There has to be an opening on top so that most of it is open on top. It's exposed to the sky. And Jews, really devout Jews, sleep in these booths or tabernacles for the whole 7 days of Sukkot. We're supposed to eat there. There are some Jews who actually sleep there and spend the whole 7 days there. What's the point of this? When you have a home with a roof and four walls, and you're going out to this temporary structure outside where it can rain, where you're exposed to all the elements, you're exposed to the wind, and possible cold or hot, depending upon, you know, this time of year it could be hot, it could be cold. Why have a situation where we're obligated to go out there and we're obligated to spend time in the sukkah, the booth? First of all, it's to remind us that just as the sukkah is a temporary structure, all of life is a temporary thing for us in this world. Ba'olam hazeh, in this world, life is temporary, life is fleeting. We live 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, and it goes so fast. I'm 60 years old. I don't know where the time flies. It goes so fast. Before you know it, it's over. And so we have to remember that because we have to add meaning. And we have to do things that are meaningful every moment of our lives. We shouldn't waste a single moment. We shouldn't waste time on shtuyot. Shtuyot is nonsense. We should be constantly learning Torah, working to make this a better world, fighting for Israel and the Jewish people, and that's true for Jews and for Gentiles. The Gentiles are also required to bless Israel and defend Israel and fight for Israel. The Bible, the Tanakh, is full of endless warnings to the Gentiles that they have to support Israel, bless Israel. For the Jews, how much more so? The Jews especially, because that's their own brothers and sisters, and they are especially commanded to do so. And we have to make this a better world for ourselves and for the other people around us, and for Klal Yisrael. We have to do this. And if we don't do this, we're wasting our time in this world, because the time we've been given in this world is a golden opportunity. It's a golden opportunity for us to to achieve what God wants us to achieve, what Hashem wants us to achieve, so that we can get a place in the next world. The next world is the world of eternity. Eternity is a very long time. It's not 100 years. It's not 1,000 years. Not 1,000,000 years. Not 1,000,000,000 years. Not 1,000,000,000 years. It's way beyond that. Forever and ever. That's the reward for people who do what Hashem commands them to do. For Jews who do what Hashem commands them to do. And for the Gentiles. Now, we also have to understand that that the material world we live in, it's all temporary. Our material things that are so important to us, this is all something that is not permanent, that has no lasting impact, unless it's used for the right purpose. And what does that mean? Why should we understand that our money and our homes and our cars and our clothes and whatever other material things you have that you care about, that all of that is temporary? Because all of those things are not the purpose in life. Our purpose in life is not to acquire material things. The material things are there as a means. As a means to give meaning to our life so that we can make this a better world for ourselves and for others, so that we can uplift ourselves and uplift others in this world. If we use those material things that Hashem, that God has given us, to make this a better world and to live the truly Jewish life that Hashem commands us to live, if we do that, then we're doing what the Creator of the world has commanded us to do, and of course there's a reward for that. If we don't, if we turn the means into the end, if we make the acquisition of money or cars or I don't know what people care about today, or houses or a home, a big home or a big car or jewelry for women and all these other things, if that or physical pleasures, if those are the things that we care about and we turn that into our purpose in life, then we're corrupting and distorting the whole reason we are in this world. Then we're showing we don't understand why we were put in this world. Yes, Judaism demands that we be idealists. Judaism demands that we be willing to sacrifice. Judaism demands of us that we be selfless and that we love other people. We should care about ourselves as well, but we should also care about our families, our loved ones, our brothers and sisters, about all decent and righteous people throughout the world as well. So the first lesson here is that the material things, your house, your car, your bank accounts, whatever, your stocks and bonds, I don't know, whatever you have, whatever you care about, those things are not the important thing in life. Those are not the important things. You're not going to take them with you when you're buried 6 feet under. The things you're going to take with you are how much Torah knowledge did you acquire? How many mitzvot, how many commandments did you keep? Did you help people? Did you make this a better world? Did you uplift yourself and those around you? Those are the things you're going to take with you. Those things will be with you. They'll be your possessions in the next world. And if you did bad things, you'll take that with you as well, God forbid. Most people will have more bad things than good things, because most people are evil. Unfortunately, that's true. Most people are evil. And that's true in every generation. Now, a second aspect of the Feast of Tabernacles is that we must trust in Hashem. You could have storms and rain and bad weather and all types of things can happen. You're out in the open. You got to trust in Hashem. You got to believe in Hashem. And you trust Him because you're building the tabernacle. Now, there are times when there's nothing you could do. It's just raining and you just can't eat outside in the tabernacle. You're not required to. If you're going to suffer, you're not required to eat outside in the tabernacle because it's supposed to be a holiday of happiness. But you trust in Hashem. If it rains and if things don't go the way you wanted them to go, then you know that there's a reason for that and it's for the better, and you trust in Hashem for the reasons He does what He does. If there is beautiful weather and you do enjoy going into the sukkah and you enjoy the holidays and the weather in the sukkah, then you also know that Hashem had a reason for allowing you to do that. You trust in Hashem. You trust in what He did. If someone asked you, if you could do things differently, up until this point, from the beginning of history, the beginning of time, until now, what would you have done differently than what God has done so far? How would a Torah true Jew answer that question? A Torah true Jew would say, nothing at all. Every single thing that Hashem has done has been perfect, and you wouldn't change a single thing that He has done. That doesn't mean we don't pray to Hashem for the future. For the present and the future, we are required to pray. We're required, because that's part of the good thing, that's part of the good that we do in the world. When we pray to Hashem, when we show we have faith in Hashem, then we can change things for the better. But everything Hashem does is perfect and correct. If we don't understand it, we don't understand it, because we're limited. And someday we'll see why Hashem does what He does. Someday we'll have a greater understanding. But in this world, we're limited. Everything that He does is perfect, and we trust in Hashem. We have bitachon, faith in Hashem. Bitachon is belief in Hashem, faith in Hashem. Emunah is also faith in Hashem. We have emunah, we have bitachon. We believe that Hashem, that God, will do the right thing. And so we're willing to build this temporary structure to remind us of the fact that life itself is full of insecurities and uncertainties. Life is always full of insecurity and uncertainty. You never know what's going to happen health-wise. You never know what's going to happen financially. You never know what's going to happen in terms of your personal safety or anything else. You never know what's going to happen. There could be war. There could be all types of terrible things that could happen. You never know for sure. Life is full of uncertainty. And the reason life is full of uncertainty is because Hashem wants to keep us praying to Him, turning to Him. When we're uncertain, we pray to Hashem. We look for Hashem to help us. If everything was perfect for us and we never had any problems, we wouldn't. Human nature is that we wouldn't turn to Hashem. Not only that, if everything was perfect, we'd have nothing to do in this world. The purpose of our presence in this world is tikkun olam, is to correct the world. We're supposed to correct the imperfections. God put us deliberately in a world with imperfections so that we can correct those imperfections. That's part of our mission in life. Everybody in life has a mission. Everybody in life has a higher calling. The question is, do you answer your higher calling or not? And one other aspect of Sukkot that I do want to bring up is the sacrifices that used to be made on the holiday of Sukkot, when we had Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. When we had the Holy Temple, and when we're going to have the Holy Temple a third time, when Mashiach comes, when the Messiah comes, we're going to have the Holy Temple again. We did korbanot, we did sacrifices. And the korbanot, and during Sukkot, we had the korbanot, the sacrifices of 70 bulls. 70 bulls. 70 bulls were sacrificed, because the 70 nations of the world, symbolically, there are 70 Gentile nations in the world. Symbolically, there are 70 nations in the world. The Jews are not counted among those 70 nations. Am levadad yishkon uvagoyim lo yitchashav. Lo, this is a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. The Jews are not counted, are not reckoned among the nations. The Jews are not counted among the 70 nations, but the 70 Gentile nations of the world. Of course, today, if you look at the UN, there may be over 200 countries claim. But the Jewish concept is that there are basically 70 different peoples and nations in the world. That's the Jewish concept. And the Jews were required to do a sacrifice in order to have Shefa, in order to bring Shefa, abundance, to the Gentile nations. If the Gentile nations knew what the building of the Holy Temple would mean for them, forget about what it means for the Jewish people, for them, the abundance it would bring to the world, the changes, the positive changes it would bring to the world, if they only knew, they would be demanding that the Jews rebuild the third temple immediately and tear down those terrorist mosques, those vicious Nazi terrorist mosques that are on the Jewish holy site right now, that are polluting the Jewish holy site. They would demand it. Because true shefa, true abundance for the Jews and for the Gentiles comes from Beit HaMikdash, comes from Yerushalayim, from Jerusalem, and from the area where, from Har HaBayit. Har HaBayit is the Temple Mount, the area where we had the Holy Temple. That's where the abundance comes from. As the Bible says, this is Sha'ar LaShamayim. It is the gate to heaven. Why? Because this is the place. Har HaBayit is the place where we could openly communicate with God, where there was prophecy. Jews who went there often had prophetic experiences. And so this is a place where the separation between us and the spiritual world, there was a gateway for us to reach the spiritual world here. In other words, we believe that there are actually two worlds here. There's Shamayim, heaven, which symbolizes the spiritual world, that there is a spiritual world with God and angels and things that we can't see because we don't have prophetic power. Only a prophet could see these things. And then there is the material world. And the material world is the world that we live in. So we're separated right now from the spiritual world. We can't see the spiritual world. But at Har HaBayit, at the Temple Mount, when Beit HaMikdash, when the Holy Temple was there, Jews could see the spiritual world. Jews had a connection and an open gateway to the spiritual world. The gate was opened. And that's why Jews had such a magnificent experience, why they so mourned when they lost the Holy Temple, and why they so long for the rebuilding of the Holy Temple. Any Jew with half a brain longs for the rebuilding of the Holy Temple. It would be the most wonderful, magnificent thing in human history. That's why they long for it. And the third temple that's going to be built is going to be forever. Will never, never come down. Just as the state of Israel will never be destroyed completely. There could be terrible tragedies, terrible things could happen, but it will never be completely destroyed. In the same way, the Holy Temple, the third temple that's going to be built in the days of the Messiah, could be before the Messiah, could be in the days of the Messiah, the third temple that's going to be built is going to be forever. And it's going to be much greater than the first two temples that were built. So, we have to understand that our abundance, our shefa, comes from God. Where it comes from, why it comes to us, and what the secret is to unleashing the blessings that God wants to bestow upon all of us. That is also part of the deeper meaning of Sukkot. I wish I had hours to speak about this. And I could speak to you for days about this, and it wouldn't even scratch the surface. It's a beautiful holiday, as all the Jewish holidays are, as everything that God gave us in the Bible is. Everything God gave us in the Bible is beautiful and magnificent and wonderful. You know, it's like if you buy a computer, you have to have a book with directions to tell you from the manufacturer how you operate the computer. You're not just going to get a computer or a device that's complicated and not have some directions on how to operate it. Or if you get a new phone, a new cell phone, a new mobile phone, you got to have some directions. God's book of directions and instructions for the world is the Torah and the Bible. That's God's book of directions and instructions. And for the Jewish people, it's not just the written Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. It's not just that. For the Jewish people, it's also the oral Torah. Mishnah, and then Gemara, Talmud. All of that is our book of directions and instructions. God would not have put us in this world without giving us direction and instruction. And those directions and instructions, the perfect instructions, the perfect guide to what we should be doing, is in those books. That's a little bit on the holiday of Sukkot. And of course, I wish all of my brothers and sisters, all the great JTFers and everybody watching, Chag Sameach. You should have a happy holiday, a healthy holiday, a meaningful holiday. And Melech HaMashiach, the Messiah, should come speedily in our day and redeem us all, give us Geulah Shlema, a complete redemption for us and for all the righteous among all the nations of the world. Second subject we want to discuss is the latest scandals involving Donald Trump. Now, numerous women are coming forward and are saying that, guess what? What he bragged about doing, he really did. He bragged about sexually assaulting women. He bragged about grabbing them by their genitals, using the P word for the genitalia of a woman. He bragged about that. He bragged about kissing them when they don't want it. He bragged about grabbing them when they don't want it. He bragged about treating them like a female, the dirty word for female, dog. He bragged about all of that. Remember in the tape? And the things he bragged about, he said he did this. This is like a confession. He gave us a confession that he did these things. And the things he bragged about, guess what? Surprise, surprise. He actually did the things that he bragged about. What a surprise. What a shock. Huh. I mean, you have to be a fool not to realize, not to realize that, of course, he's not just bragging. He said he's a star. He could get away with it. They let you do it because you're a star. When you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything you want to women when you're a star. Now, at least 10 women have come forward with, I think, pretty credible accounts of what happened. At least 10 women. And there's no doubt. I don't know if every single one of the women is telling the truth. But I know for sure that not all of them are lying. Not all of them are making this up. We have his confession on tape that this is what he does. His own first ex-wife, until he bribed her and gave her a big settlement, she testified under oath that he raped her. So his wife testified under oath. His first wife testified under oath that he raped her. And he brags about sexually assaulting women. He brags about attacking them sexually, about being a sexual predator. There's no question that he's guilty, that he did do this, that he's a vicious, evil, immoral piece of garbage. That he is a sexual predator in every way and a low-life piece of garbage who should be completely unacceptable to anyone with an ounce of morality. To have him as president, he belongs in prison for the things he did. He should be in prison. His place should be behind bars, not in the White House, God forbid. And of course, Bill Clinton, the defense of the Trumpsters. First of all, the Trumpsters try to deny. You know that he did it. The Trumpsters know that he did it. They know he's guilty. You don't give a damn about these women or what he did to what Trump did to these women. You'd support him anyway. If you saw him do it, you would still support him. The only time you wouldn't support him if he did it to your wife or to your daughter or to your mother or to your sister, then you'd be mad. But if he does it to someone else's wife or sister or mother or daughter, which he did numerous times throughout his life, because he's a pervert, because he's a dirty old man and a pervert. When he does that you don't mind. That you'll overlook. And of course, Bill Clinton is a rapist. He raped Juanita Broderick. Sure, he raped her, and she is. And of course, he did it. And he's also a sexual predator. He's a disgusting, evil piece of perverted filth. There's no question about that. Both of them are perverted. Both of them are evil. Both of them committed sexual assaults numerous times. Both of them are serial sexual predators of the worst type. Dangerous, violent sexual predators. Both of them. Both Donald Trump and Bill Clinton, who have complete contempt for women. Complete contempt for women. No respect for women whatsoever. Remember Donald Trump, his famous, when they asked him, you respect women, Howard Stern said to him. He said, well, I can't say that either, and laughed. No, he admitted he doesn't respect, he has no respect for women. He's just a low-life pig. Anyway, and Bill Clinton is the same story, of course. You know what amazes me? The hypocrisy and the immorality on both sides. The Clinton side and the Trump side. The Clinton people in the 1990s said, this is irrelevant. What he does in his private life, I don't care as long as he keeps unemployment down and he does what I want as president. I don't care about this. Even the feminists were willing to overlook it because they liked what he was, because they liked the fact that he supported abortion and supported their agenda. So they said, this is irrelevant. What are you bringing up sexual stuff? This is irrelevant. This is not relevant to what he would do as president. All of a sudden, these same people are indignant that Donald Trump did the same thing Bill Clinton did. When Bill Clinton did it, they said it's irrelevant. When Donald Trump does it, he's unfit to be president. And the opposite is true. The Trumpsters, all those people who were Republicans, who were against the Clintons in the 90s, when Clinton did it, the things they said about him and the things they've said about Hillary Clinton, about her. You know, she's a lesbian. I mean, this is well known. You know, Yoko Ono, the wife of John Lennon, said that they had that she had lesbian relations with Hillary Clinton. She's definitely a lesbian. She's a pervert. She also did try to shut up these women. There's no question about it. She's a beast as well. In every respect, she's pure evil. We have two candidates for president who are pure evil. Pure evil and completely unacceptable. Both of them are completely unacceptable. In any event, the people, the same, the Trumpsters and the Republicans, and even some evangelical Christian hypocrites, who were so indignant when Bill Clinton did what he did with Monica Lewinsky, or when Bill Clinton did what he did with Jennifer Flowers and with these other people, these other women. They were so upset about that. And how, this is the type of president, this is the morality you have, this is the example we're setting for our children. That's what they were saying in those days, in the 90s. I remember it. The same people now are saying when Donald Trump does it, this isn't relevant. Look, I'm interested in what his positions are on this issue or that issue. I'm not interested in what he in the fact that he sexually attacked women. I'm not interested in that. I'm only interested in his positions on the issues. So look at the hypocrisy on both sides. On both sides. They're both scum. Bill Clinton is scum. Donald Trump is scum. Hillary Clinton is scum. They're all scum. And look at the immorality of our country. Look at the immorality. The Clinton people and the Democrats, they excused it when Bill Clinton did all these terrible things. Completely amoral. Completely amoral and immoral. And the Trump people, now you see the Republicans are also immoral and amoral. The ones who are supporting Trump, at least. They're also immoral and amoral. Completely. They'll put that aside. They don't care about that. As long as it's not their wife or their daughter or their sister, they don't care that he grabs women by the genitals. And you know that he does do that. Just look at his history over the years. Come on. One other point here. Again, I have to say both of them are completely, both candidates are unacceptable. We in JTF recommend that either you don't vote for president, either you skip the presidential race, and you should vote, usually Republican, in most cases Republican, for senator, congressman, and so on. But not vote for president. Or, if you want to write in Ted Cruz's name, you can write in the name of Ted Cruz if you want for president. It's not going to make much of a difference, but if you want to, if you feel better, you can write in the name of Ted Cruz for president. You'll get a few thousand votes. I don't know how many people write in his name, but whatever. You can do that if you want. But Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are completely unacceptable, and the minor party candidates running are completely unacceptable. They all stink. They're all immoral. None of them meet even the minimal standard for getting our support. None of them. And none of them should be, we should not support any of them. And Donald Trump is not the lesser of the evils against Hillary Clinton. On most issues, he's actually worse than her if you listen to what he actually says. So, you know, the lesser of the evils argument, it does not work. It does not work. But look at, you know, we told you to support Ted Cruz. And we warned you this was going to happen to Donald Trump. We warned you he has all these skeletons in his closet. The media was holding back. They weren't bringing it out. And Ted Cruz, by the way, made the same warning. Even in the debates, he said the minute he gets a nomination, they're going to unleash on him. They're going to let it all out, and it's going to be a disaster. And weren't we right? And wasn't Ted Cruz right? Obviously. Imagine Ted Cruz now, if he had been the nominee against Hillary Clinton. You idiots out there who said, I support Trump because I think he can beat Clinton. Ted Cruz can't beat Clinton. What are you, crazy? Clinton is a terrible debater. Trump is an even worse debater. Cruz is a great debater. Cruz would have beaten her easily in the debates. His speech at the Republican convention would have been a fantastic speech. He's a great speaker, a great debater, a great candidate. Very disciplined. All these disastrous things you see happening. to Trump, they would not have happened to Cruz. He would have raised, there would have been a lot of money raised, a lot of commercials, a very strong ground game and organization, enthusiastic support from the evangelicals and true conservatives. He would have had a lot of things going for him that Trump could never have. And the WikiLeaks, the emails coming out about Hillary every day, that would be the number one story if it was Clinton versus Cruz. If it was Clinton versus Cruz, the number one story in the news, they wouldn't be able to avoid it, would be all these WikiLeaks about Hillary Clinton, about all the dirty stuff in her dirty, dirty, nasty campaign. That would be the number one story. But of course that's going to get buried when you have such dirty, filthy sex stories coming from Donald Trump. You know the media is going to go for the sex stories. Aside from the fact that they're biased against Trump, yes, and they're biased against any Republican, of course. They'd be biased against Cruz, too. But you know they're going to go for the sex story no matter what. Let me tell you something. One thing I will say, and I hate the media. I hope they all die. I hope the evil ones, at least, the 90% of them are evil. They should all drop dead, yimach shemam v'zichram. But as much as I hate the media, as much as I despise them, one thing I will say, those people are saying, oh, they're covering the Trump sex scandals because they're biased against Trump. They are biased against Trump, but that's not the reason they're covering the Trump sex scandals. Let me tell you, I lived through the 90s, and I remember in the 90s, they gave the same saturation coverage, wall-to-wall coverage to Bill Clinton's sex scandals. They love this. You don't think they gave non-stop coverage to Bill Clinton during the Monica Lewinsky scandals and all the other women who came forward? They gave non-stop coverage. Now, it's true that certain aspects of it, they hit Trump harder than they hit Bill Clinton in certain respects. But we knew this was going to happen. You know that you're going to have a biased media, which is why you can't have a hopelessly flawed, evil, disgusting, immoral, sleazebag candidate like Donald Trump as the Republican nominee. You can't, because you can't win with him. And we'll see if we're right, by the way, about that. Remember, all you Trumpsters said to us, Trump's the only one who can beat Hillary Clinton. Well, we'll see. You know how many videos there are on YouTube from Trumpsters saying that he's going to win by a landslide? You know that every poll shows that the vast majority of Trumpsters, right to this day, latest polls, show that the vast majority of Trumpsters believe he's going to win on November 8th, that he's going to win the election. We say he's going to lose. The Trumpsters have said he's going to win. Trump said it'll be easier to beat Hillary Clinton than it was to win the Republican primary against 16 Republican candidates. It'll be easier. This will be very easy. He said it'll be really very easy to defeat Hillary Clinton. He said that over and over again. Defeating Hillary Clinton will be very easy. And all the Trumps have said, just give him that Republican nomination. You'll see what he'll do. He'll slaughter her. He'll win by a landslide. He's going to win overwhelmingly. You remember that? And they're still saying it. They're still saying he's going to win. We said he's going to lose. Let's see who's right. Let's see who's right on election day. Listen, if he wins, I will admit that our prediction as far as him winning the general election was wrong. But I expect you to admit the same if he loses. If he loses, I expect you, all of you who said that he's the one Republican who could beat Hillary Clinton, I expect you to admit you were wrong, that this was a terrible thing for you to do. How we need JTF to reach huge numbers of people with the truth before it's too late. In Israel, we're reaching thousands, but we need to reach millions. The more support we get from you, the more you help us, the more people we can reach in Israel. And we're going to begin a real accelerated campaign. Our Hebrew movement has been nonstop putting out videos and posts and everything else about events in Israel. Spending most of our time with the election. We don't spend a lot of time speaking about the American election in our Hebrew videos and in our Hebrew campaign. We're going to begin a very intensive campaign, God willing, Bezrat Hashem, Bli Neder. We're going to begin a very intensive campaign soon in Hebrew to try to wake people in Israel up before it's too late. We need your help to reach the people of Israel. We need your help to make a difference and to save Israel and to save the crazy Jews from themselves and from their own leaders. We need your help for that. And when we do reach people with this message, it does resonate with a lot of people if we just reached enough people. The more support we get, the more you help us, the more people we can reach. And of course, in addition to that, we're going to have the English videos and the English campaign going with, in addition to that, to wake people up, which is going to be important after the election, because we're going to have, whether it's Clinton or Trump, we're going to have a terrible president, and we're going to have to deal with the consequences of their terrible policies. Four things we ask you to do every week. Number one, we need your prayers. Please pray for the success of what we're doing. Number two, go to our main pages. JTF.org is our great English language main page that the Great Shlomo updates every day with 7 or 8 new posts and articles and 7 or 8 new things every single day. It's fantastic there. And the Hebrew main page, hayamin.org, hayamin.org. The Hebrew main page, very, very important, hayamin.org, if you speak Hebrew. And please promote our Hebrew and English videos. Every time you see us with new videos, please promote those videos everywhere you can. And finally, we need your financial support. Our downfall is the fact that we don't have a decent budget. We have the wonderful, magnificent JTFers, God bless them, that are helping us, enable us to reach thousands of people, which is very important. There has to be some voice of truth out there reaching those people. Very, very important. And of course, we also help the Jews that are in Judea and Samaria that are fighting to prevent the creation of, to prevent national suicide, to prevent the creation of so-called Palestinian state, God forbid. And we help them. We help them when they're in trouble, and they need legal representation. We help them, support their families when they're in prison. We help them with all types of projects that they're doing in Judea and Samaria. That plus the fact that we're trying to wake the people of Israel up. Very, very important. Your financial support's very important. Checks, money orders, cash donations sent to our post office box really do make a difference. Every donation makes a difference. If you prefer, for convenience sake, to do it online, you just go to our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org, and on top there's a donate button in English. I think it's the only thing in English on the, because everything else is in Hebrew on that page. On top you'll see a big donate button. It says donate in English. You click on that button, in a couple of minutes you can very conveniently donate online. Let's work together, let's fight together to make this a better world, God willing. Together, we can make a difference if we are determined to do so. Be'ezrat Hashem, with the help of God. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.